What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. And this is where we empower the U.S. military veteran community and anybody else who's willing to listen to live their best lives, utilizing the tools, tactics, and strategies that we introduce so that they can become smarter, stronger, and more resilient human beings who are going to shape the future of this country. We hear from numerous sources that doubt the direction that this country is going in. And what I will tell you is this: we can't rely on some group of politicians. We can't rely on fate. It's got to be up to us. If we want to fix things, if we want to shape society, we've all got to step up. And that's why I do this show. So normally what I do when I bring on a guest, it's somebody we've had, you know, New York Times bestsellers. We've had very accomplished entrepreneurs. We've had actors. We've had filmmakers. We've had athletes. We've had on so many different accomplished guests. And this next month is going to be no different. We've got Robert Greene, the author of the 48 Laws of Power and the Laws of Human Nature, coming on. We've got Greg Ballantyne, really master entrepreneur who has also mentored some of the greatest entrepreneurs in the space today. And we've got Nick Koumalatsos, the Marine Corps raider and filmmaker, coming on all in September. What I want to start doing on Fridays and on the weekends is starting to bring on some veteran entrepreneurs, people who are out there in the grind trying to make something happen. And particularly, I'm interested in speaking to veteran entrepreneurs who are bringing something back to the veteran community. And today, I'm bringing on Mr. Robert Woods. Robert is a U.S. Air Force veteran. And when he got out, went to school, and got into the working world, what he discovered was that there were numerous programs out there that were run by the federal government that could help him to make more money and help his employers to make more money. The problem is that a lot of businesses just don't want to do all the paperwork. And this is where Robert comes in. He gets the paperwork set. He gets the workplace set. He sets them up for inspections from the federal body that runs this. And he helps that business to get the money. And he helps that veteran to get the money. And this is particularly useful for those of you who might be in school and might need to work while you're in school, right? If you're doing a workplace and education program, or if you're doing an internship or anything like that, this could be a really good way to get yourself paid. Those of you out there who are journeyman apprentices, maybe you are trying to learn a trade, this is also perfect for you. So I want to start bringing more of this information to you guys. And I think that you're going to get a lot out of this conversation, because what I do is I talk to Robert about the problem he saw and how he got to the point where he could develop a solution around this. And that's what business is really about. You have to notice a problem. It has to be a problem that people know they have. And then you deliver a solution that people want, right? And that's really what it's all about. That's how you start a business idea. So I hope you get a lot out of this. That's about it. Just a couple of quick announcements. I already mentioned that this is the Warrior Soul Podcast. You know, we're on here every week. And this movement is growing. Our downloads, our listening audience is growing every week. And, you know, we're putting a lot of information out there. All we really ask for you in return is that you spread word about the show. You know, let other brothers, other sisters know that we exist. And you can do that in a number of ways: by sharing an episode over, by writing a review for us up on iTunes. And it just really helps us to spread the word, and it helps me to get amazing guests like Robert Greene or Craig Ballantyne or Dale Dye is another guest we've had on, Chris Bell, Les Stroud, the Survivor Man, Sal DiStefano from Mind Pump Media, Ben Greenfield. We've had so many awesome guests on here, and my goal is to bring more. I want to get Dan Crenshaw from Texas on here, the U.S. Navy SEAL and congressman. I believe I can get General Mattis on here, but I need your help to do that. And in order to get those types of guests, we need to grow this audience. So that's my ask for the day. I also want to let you know that if you're looking to support the podcast financially, we do have an amazing clothing line. We've made Marine Corps-based shirts and military-based shirts since the start. And my brother Albert Carrasco up in Santa Barbara, he prints those. He's a Marine. Everybody who works at the shop is a Marine. These are Marine-designed, Marine-printed, Marine-manufactured shirts. So definitely check those out. They're up at warriorsoul.shop. And then the last thing is this. I'd be nowhere without our amazing sponsors. You don't make a lot of money doing a podcast like this, and a podcast actually costs a lot of money to produce. So our good friends over at F-Bomb Nutrition, they've helped us out with that, and they have an amazing company. They make delicious packets of fats, macadamia nut butters, pecan butters, and they also make low-carb, high-fat snacks that you can carry out with you, like pork sticks, and they've got cheese crisps. So amazing. Great company that's sending this stuff out to the troops overseas. And if you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. And that's all I've got for today, guys. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, and let's get into this conversation with Mr. Robert Woods. All right, Robert, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I was telling you before we hit record, it's about to be 110 degrees out here in a little bit, but I could be worse. I could be freezing cold, right?
Right. Or outside.
Yep. And for those of you at home, I have a lawnmower right outside my window, and then Robert is in New York City, so you might hear some cop cars go by and things like that. So just bear with us on this. But Robert, number one, again, thank you for coming on. Number two, really interested in talking about your business. For those of you who don't know or didn't listen to the intro, Robert helps businesses get certified through the VA so that they can help veterans to make more money. And Robert, you started out as an Air Force veteran, right?
Yeah. So I was in the Air Force for 5 years as a dental technician, and I focused on oral surgery at that last half of my career in the Air Force. Learned a lot. I stayed in one base, though. It was Columbus Air Force Base, Mississippi, the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So I went straight from Columbus, Mississippi, up to New York, because I really wanted to continue to pursue my education. So I went to Fordham University. After that, I went up to work for an investment bank in the HR space at Guggenheim Partners. And after that, I enrolled into a real estate development program at Columbia University and learned a lot there, too. So it's been kind of a winding road that might not make sense to everyone, but it made sense, to my vision. So.
It's all good, man. I think the days of saying, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go on this set career path, right. I think those are over. There's so much opportunity out there, so many different things to learn. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things I tell people is try to get a breadth of experience in different areas just to see what you like, because, the way the economy's going and the way things, the way economy's been historically, right now it's really good, but you never know when things are going to change, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's always good to have a degree or some sort of certification in your back pocket. And I think that's one of the reasons why LinkedIn even is coming out with certifications and things like that. We were talking about Khan Academy. It's so easy to learn new things nowadays. So it's awesome.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I've been noticing. I mean, there's just so many opportunities for free education. I mean, ranging from being able to take like MIT courses on YouTube versus we were talking about Udacity before this, and being able to actually learn tech, learn coding, learn AI project management, things like that. And, you know, that's really awesome. So, when you were in the Air Force, when you joined, did you have a set plan in mind that you were going to be in the Air Force for a little bit and then head off and grab the education, or what was that like?
Well, I really got into the Air Force mainly because, well, I knew what the lifestyle was going to be like because my brother and my parents were both in the military, and also couldn't pay for college. I was attending Howard University's School of Business, and I was in my first semester, and I'm like, how am I going to pay for next semester? So I kind of joined just so, because I knew that they were going to provide a scholarship for Air Force ROTC. So that's kind of what I pursued. I didn't plan on it really, but it became like the best option for me at the time.
Wow. And so did you go through the ROTC program and become an officer?
I didn't. I actually didn't make it through that program. I actually got disenrolled in the fourth year due to academic, issues. And but I eventually went back to finish the following year. But I mean, I think that kind of goes to show, like, you know, I didn't even want to be in the Air Force, but I got my education paid for. So it kind of goes to show, like, you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but you can still, rise above your challenges.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things about the military in general, I think, is that when you, especially for enlisted men, I think it's actually a really good deal. You know, you might have to deal with a little extra BS. You know, we, in the Marine Corps, we called it the big green weenie. but you know, the thing is, for those years you're in, you're young, you don't have a lot of bills to take care of or anything like that. You don't have a whole heck of a lot to worry about, and you get some great leadership training, some great training in general. And I know you were stuck on a base in Mississippi, but you know, you get a chance to travel, that's a bonus too.
Exactly. That's how it is sometimes.
Absolutely. And so when you were in the Air Force, did you run into, like, what types of lessons did you learn there as far as, carrying yourself, where you wanted to go in the future and things like that?
The kinds of lessons I learned is, you know, everybody's watching is one of the phrases that I like to hear and say. It was a small installation, so essentially everybody knew you, and everybody knew your business a little bit. So there was that aspect of it. So I knew, you know, at 23, 24, that I really had to be on my P's and Q's and be on point, especially in the dental clinic where everybody has to go. So, and also in addition to that, since it was a small office, everybody had to learn every part of the job, from radiation to infection control to running your own programs, following up with the 20 to 100 patients every single day, every single week, making sure, you know, so many things that one person had a responsibility for. And I think that's kind of where I stretched myself a little bit to become, you know, that top 10%, a top tier, that top tier airman at that time. And it was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it is fun. It's fun looking back at it. Right. It's not so fun while you're doing it.
Right? Exactly. But, sometimes it's like, God, this is the worst.
This again, it's like Groundhog Day, blah, blah, blah. But, when you look back on it and you look back on times like that, you got to appreciate them for what they are. Right. And to the young guys out there and girls out there who are still in, you know, appreciate these days, because someday, I promise you might not think it, you're going to miss them. Right.
Exactly. There's this phrase that, like from a meme that I remember, just said, I wish I was as fat as I was when I thought I was, I wish I was as skinny as I was when I thought I was fat. You know, I think, the same thing could go for, you know, time management or aging and all these other things, but like your perspective is always skewed. And I think it's really important for us to frame things, just in a positive frame of mind, whenever you can, really.
Absolutely. And so when you got out of the Air Force, did you go straight to Fordham?
Yeah. Well, so there was a gap there. I eventually worked for a hospitality company called Convene. And fortunately, they hired me the day after I landed in New York City, which was a blessing, seriously. So I was happy to get a job. But, you know, it wasn't the highest paying job for me at the time, of course, because I didn't have experience in that field. I was actually an AV technician. So before Fordham started, I was accepted. But before Fordham started, there was a 4-month gap where I was essentially, you know, just an AV tech and working part time to full time. And the schedule was kind of not necessarily consistent at the time. And so that was kind of a rough transition for me a little bit, especially trying to pay bills in New York City.
Well, yeah. I mean, did you grow up around New York City at all, or did you grow up someplace else?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. That was kind of where we settled down, essentially, Atlanta, Georgia. But my father being in the Army for about 30 years, we moved around a lot too. So yeah, Atlanta's where I got that Southern accent from.
I can't tell the Southern accent. I've been to Atlanta. It's a great city, and New York's a great city too. But like you said, it's extremely expensive. I mean, like Manhattan is basically like a giant shopping mall. And you know, when I was growing up and when I was younger and working in the New York City area, you know, it was interesting to me because the people who lived there, I thought they had to be exorbitantly rich in order to survive. And I always dreamed of living in the city, but really couldn't make it swing.
Yeah, no, it's good to have my fiance here with me because we're kind of working as a team here. Fortunately got a 2-bedroom apartment, which doesn't really happen in this part of the neighborhood, but it's really good, you know, so it helps to have a partner too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So you land in New York City, you get the job. And so were you working through school and everything like that?
Yep. So I was working through school and eventually got the job at the investment bank that I mentioned. And fortunately, the program was on the weekends. And so I could work like a full-time schedule and then go to class on the weekends from 9 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday. So long weeks, but it's good.
Absolutely. And again, it's worth it while you're young. Go out there and grind, because when you get to be old like me, you don't want to have to grind.
You're not old. Right? You're not even old. That's crazy. Really?
Yeah. Man. Yeah. A few weeks ago. I know I don't look it, but
happy birthday. You still got your hair and everything, man.
I'll never lose the hair. It's just going great.
Nice.
So you're working this job and you heard of this program, right, with the VA, where they could sign up and you can make a bit more money. And so you go to them, and what did they tell you?
So at the time, my bosses at the time said, well, Robert, this seems like a good opportunity and a good program, but thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to do that. And so I immediately thought, wow, you know, it was frustrating for me at the time. As much as I appreciate and love those guys, you know, I still like them. But at the time, it was so frustrating because they didn't really know how much that $4,000 meant to me at the time. You know, and to have that in addition to your salary, wow, you know, that really could help you bridge the gap in between your, you know, just that transition when you're training up and trying to work toward that that next position, that middle tier position that a lot of us are qualified for by the time we transition out. In between that time, it would be good to do that. So yeah, and that's part of the reason I started Banneret, to help basically raise more awareness around programs like that. And there are a couple of companies doing it, but not too many.
Wow. And so let's talk about that program for a little bit. What's it called, and what can veterans get from it? I know you'd mentioned before that all the universities do this so that they can get money, right?
Right, exactly.
but companies don't realize that they can do this as well to get more money for their workers who are veterans and as well get more money as a company, right?
Exactly. So it's called the Veterans on the Job Veterans Affairs on the Job Training Program, and it's also called an apprenticeship program as well. There's two different designations, and it just depends on the curriculum that's created for these positions. But essentially, I guess I'll put it in the context of a job. Let's say a person that's working as a financial analyst, and he really wants to make it to financial, the finance associate, which is that next level. A business like Wells Fargo or Merrill Lynch can go ahead and file paperwork with the with the Veterans Affairs and for the financial associate position to say that, hey, for the next year or the next 6 months or up to 2 years, this veteran will do this particular curriculum. And for this particular amount of time, he'll be getting that, $3,700 of BAH per month in addition to what he's making with the company right now. So it's really just a few signatures and sign-offs from, upper-level management. And, you put the paperwork through the VA, and that will take time, a little bit of time. But after that, you've created a lane and an opportunity for everybody else behind that veteran to go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity.
And let's repeat that. That's $3,700 extra dollars per month to live in a place like New York City, right?
Right.
And that changes around the country, depending on where you're at. Yeah. But that's extra money, and that money could mean the difference between, living a normal life and living off of, a cup of soup every single night, going to school and trying to grind it out, right?
Exactly. And that amount does decrease by 20% every 6 months while you're in that program. But just like anything, it's not for everyone, but I think a perfect market of veterans that is for is, I would say, officers or people that already have degrees when they get out of the military, because most officers, they go out or they transition out, and then they'll get an MBA. But that MBA is 2 years long, and they're sitting there with 12 months of GI Bill ready to go. And that's about $40,000. So, and they have to leave that on the table just because 99% of businesses in the country aren't registered.
99% of businesses in the country are not registered for this.
Not registered. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy. About 33,000 businesses are registered, and then about 29,000 of them, 29 million businesses aren't.
And so when you're talking about the business owners who get into this program, what kind of benefits can the business owners get from being a part of the program and hiring veterans?
So it's something that I don't necessarily say up front because it doesn't sound like the best thing, but a business owner could actually pay a veteran up to 50% less of what they would normally pay a veteran during this transitional period, because the VA is essentially going to be making up that difference. So that's kind of a monetary benefit that the business could take advantage of, but most business owners won't take advantage of that opportunity just because, they want their workers to be happy and get compensated well. In addition to that, there's workers' tax credits, which allow a veteran that has been unemployed for at least 90 days to get a 10% deduction or an up to $10,000 of tax credits for hiring a veteran that's unemployed. So those are just a couple of the things.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, like for smaller businesses, people who are they're trying to hire people, but the tax situation here in California and I know New York as well.
Right.
A lot of times, smaller businesses get into a position where they can't hire people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because and that means less jobs out there. But if they register for this program, And it's not like the veteran's going to be working for nothing. They're going to make up the difference. The veteran will be whole as far as salary is concerned. Right. And this could mean more jobs in general for veterans, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's the perfect opportunity for businesses and veterans that really, that, you know, want to work together. And I know a lot of veterans want to start businesses as well. And I think, you know, veterans, we think in a certain way. So, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of us where we want to do things systematically and, you know, we're cost conscious, just like they made us be when we were in the military. And so when we think like that as entrepreneurs, it just sounds like a perfect opportunity for somebody that really does want to hire another veteran to work with them.
100%. So yeah. When you're working with a business, mm-hmm. to get them certified, what types of P's and Q's do they need to mind in order to actually get certified through the VA?
So they need to make sure that there's a place for the veteran to learn and operate within the business. And so even if it's in essentially like a home office or something, there has to be enough, right resources for them there, the computers, printers, all these normal things. In addition to that, they have to take the curriculum that they're going to be learning on the job seriously, because, you know, this is government funds, and if you're going to have a financial analyst, you can't say that they're going to be doing, you can't actually have them taking out trash only or something like that.
Right. And they need to be actually learning how to do financial analysis. They need to actually be doing what this job description entails, right?
Exactly. And there will be, intermittent visits, site visits and things like that. And in the beginning of the process, there's definitely going to be a site visit to the office in order to approve the program before the process is approved. So.
Awesome. Yeah. And as far as tips for business owners and getting started, you know, if we had a business owner out there who wanted to get certified through the program, where would they go? What would they do? What do they need to get in line besides everything you just mentioned?
They would just email me at robert@banneret.org. No, I'm just kidding. But you could go to your VA's website for your specific city. So there's the VA Resource Center. There's a lot of resources and people that are actually assigned to do just that, assigned to help you with the process on a step-by-step basis. The only thing is they're not necessarily incentivized to follow up with you to make sure you finish it. So a lot of times companies will start it, but then they won't finish it. And that's one of the reasons why I, you know, try to step in between that process to say, hey, you know, you just need this, and this, you're almost there. Let's go ahead and do this and things like that. But yeah, just your VA website for your city or your county is really all you have to do, and go from there.
Awesome. And when you're working with people, so you're taking them through this process, you're helping them with the paperwork, you're making sure you're helping them get their business in line, mm-hmm. In order to make sure that they meet the standard necessary to make this happen, right?
Yep. So we're in the process of doing that with two businesses right now. And, you know, it's kind of a slow, it's actually a, it takes between 30 and 90 days to go ahead and get it done. And sometimes it falls off of the wayside because companies are like, that's not a priority right now. But you know, if you want to make it a priority, it's definitely doable. And that's why I'm, talking to different business owners to try to help them out.
Yeah, and we're talking about the government here. I mean, the government doesn't make anything fast or easy, right?
So, exactly.
Yeah. So that's a big service to business owners who want to get this done, who want to get this extra money, who want to be able to take on these employees. And then the other aspect of this is if there are veterans out there who are doing on-the-job training, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for them to go to their bosses and say, hey, listen, you're going to be able to get this extra money. I'm going to be able to get paid more. It's a win-win situation. Let's call Robert and get this done, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to, you know, some people have said, oh, well, you're trying to make people waste their GI Bill. And that's not the case at all. Just trying to, you know, educate people or, you know, put that awareness out there that they can use it as a tool in another way that's other than just traditional education.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, talk about education. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could waste your GI Bill at a 4-year university, right? And I mean, you could go and you could study, I don't know, dog park studies or something like that right. And come out without any verifiable skills, right? Yeah. But on the job training, I think is where things are going. I mean, as far as things go, I mean, you know, university prices are just so exorbitant right now. And you don't necessarily get a return on investment for a lot of degrees now.
Yeah, not necessarily. I do also want to mention another program called the SkillBridge program. If you haven't heard of it, it just allows veterans to go to work at a company for the last 90 days of their active duty enlistment. And that is considered an internship. And so you actually still get paid your active duty service wages. You just basically get a TDY. You probably already heard of that, right?
I've definitely heard of it, but it's definitely a good reminder. There's just so many things we could be taking advantage of, but it's like we said before, the government doesn't make it so easy and they don't really advertise a lot of this stuff either. So
exactly.
That's a big thing to remember. So with this business, you said you've been doing this for about 3 years now.
Yep.
Where are you taking it? How are you getting the word out? Obviously coming on to shows like this and things like that, but are you doing things over social media, LinkedIn and things like that?
Yeah. Social media and LinkedIn, especially. I have a podcast called The Knight's Tale Podcast, where we talk to military veterans about their experiences and their stories. Also business leaders about the things they like to see in their talent and things like that. And word of mouth, you know, people that know me know that I'm doing this. But yeah, like you said, those programs aren't advertised at the Super Bowl. So a lot of times people don't really know about it. And that's kind of why I'm, you know, trying to do this. So definitely need to get the word out more, though, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, these days with social media, things are a lot more difficult to get out because the algorithms, you know, they just because you post something up on Facebook doesn't mean that everybody's going to be able to see it. Right.
Exactly.
So things like networking, they're still important, going out there, actually meeting people, doing things like this, where you're coming on the shows, getting broadcasted and things like that. Really, really important. And so for you, new business owners out there, you got to remember that the art of networking is definitely not dead, right?
Exactly. And I think some of the and you know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people do discredit the whole and I do agree some of the traditional education stuff is pretty bad, but you know, when you use the school as a platform, then I think the opportunities are endless because there's more people that are going to have access to you, to have a connection to a specific school like Baruch University or NYU or whatever, wherever you go, you'll be able to attach yourself with something that someone else can know, like, and trust. Therefore they transfer that energy to you.
Absolutely.
That's my thought process, at least.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Just considering the move to New York City and everything like that, we got a lot of veterans who listen to this who don't really want to be within 150 miles of a major city like New York, Los Angeles, or anything like that. Are there opportunities out there for people who live in more suburban or rural areas as well?
Yeah, there's opportunities there. I think, but the BAH is just going to be a little bit less. And I think if you can live with that, then you'll be perfectly fine. I think the scale of it just depends on what your rent is and things like that. But, you know, extra money is always good.
Yeah. And that's all scalable too. I mean, if you're living in, if you're living in New York and you're paying $2,000 for rent, you're living in a closet, right?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
But if you're paying, you know, $1,000 for rent in some place in Kansas, it could be, you'd be living in a really nice place. I mean, it's all scalable.
Kansas, so. Denver, North Carolina, you know, the rent is lower. So it's awesome.
Indiana, Tennessee, all those places, great places too.
Exactly. You know?
Exactly. And as far as cities and things like that, are there other cities out there that you think yield a lot of opportunity? You know, I was in Austin a few years ago and that place looked like it was absolutely amazing. Are there any other cities on your radar as far as places that might yield a lot of opportunity for veterans?
From what I've seen, San Francisco, especially, you know, if you're attacking that tech, the tech money there, San Francisco, I would say for sure. And Washington, D.C. is also is the number three. Yeah, it's the number three location for your, you know, to make the most impact in terms of your BAH dollars. There's a lot of opportunities with the government as well in that D.C. and Virginia area.
Really? That's pretty, and there's a lot of places to live down there that don't necessarily, you don't necessarily have to be in the middle of DC. They got a great right. transit city, a great transit system down there. I mean, from Alexandria to Maryland, all over the place, right?
Crazy, yeah. And the trains are super clean. I mean,
I was down there 2 weeks ago and the trains were absolutely awesome.
It was like, this is beautiful. You know, and I was, when I lived there 10 years ago, it wasn't necessarily like that. So it was good to see it change.
Definitely transitioned. I was staying in a place in, not in Northwest, I was in Northeast, which, you know, when I lived there 10, 12, 15 years ago, it was, you know, had problems walking down the street. Now it's a lot better, a whole lot better. So
yeah. Definitely. You know, that's the part of that G word that people don't like to say a lot of times, but it's good. I think in a way it can be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we talked about those areas and, you know, which sectors in your mind do you think have the most opportunity right now? Obviously tech is one. Are there any others out there?
In my opinion, it's finance and hospitality. I think that's where a lot of our grit. I think, you know, as a veteran, you have the transferable skills to just get things done. And in finance and hospitality, that are really operations centric and people centric. I think that's where I think the opportunity is. And, you know, in addition to that, the big banks really do want veterans. They have the veteran programs. That was actually a way for me to get into the investment bank that I worked at, Guggenheim Partners, which has a great veteran transition assistance program. Then there's Bank of America that has the VAT program, Veteran Associate Program. I think PwC has one as well. So I think those opportunities are just fantastic for people that are interested in, you know, being the next Wolf of Wall Street. And then, in hospitality, you know, Hilton, all of those hotels, they're always looking for top tier talent. And I think it's important to try to go after those two.
What types of careers within hospitality are there? 'Cause it's always been a sector that like I look at, seems pretty awesome, but like never really knew what types of careers existed in that sector.
Yeah. So, you know, they'll just call it operations, but operations are hospitality management. So actually managing the facility on a day-to-day basis. And then on the corporate side, there's just so many. But I think the operations is really what they typically call it, you know, operations analyst or things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's That type of stuff definitely fills into the skill set of a lot of veterans, organizing, managing, creating systems and things like that. Definitely big time there. And then on the finance side, are we talking like iBanking? Are we talking like investor relations or what types of things over there?
Yeah, so finance, it's usually investment banking. So the client facing roles, but I've also seen them in something that I didn't really know about before, which is called prime brokerage, which is not necessarily well known, but they have a huge floor of people working hard every day in that sector as well. And then there's, you know, the traditional financial analyst, financial associate. Then there's credit associates, and things like that. So there's so many opportunities that I probably, you know, can't name them all. But I think if you really attack the veteran-centric programs, you'll always end up hitting some people that you will click with, and it might not create an opportunity immediately. But if you just continue to connect with those people, which is, it's a very tight-knit community in the veteran finance sector, you're bound to find something.
Absolutely. It's about reaching out to people, getting to know people. You know, being likable and trustable is a huge factor right. in today's world. It's always been a huge factor, but I think it's actually more important now than it ever was.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it's another thing. I was actually watching the show, and this is no, I'm not making generalizations or anything, but sometimes people do think that empathy is a character flaw. And I think that's one of the things that we have to realize, like in the military, it's just like, get it done, you know, keep your bearing, shut up, do the work. But, you know, when you get on, you know, maybe a trading floor or another field of work, you know, people have feelings and people don't really want to be talked to a certain way. So that's like an adjustment that we all have to make. I think it's just one of those funny and interesting things that we just have to be cognizant of.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's about being able to understand people and read people and know where they're coming from. I mean, one of the problems I ran into when I got onto a college campus was I've always been very direct. And it was actually a thing transitioning from the East Coast to the West Coast. Mm. Because, you know, those of us who grew up in the Northeast, we speak a certain way. We talk very fast. Yep. And we're pretty direct about what we have to say. But people in certain other parts of the country on the West Coast don't really – nothing against people from California. I love California. I love California. But, you know a lot of us from the New York City area, we always rub people the wrong way.
Right. So, yep.
My mother's from North Jersey, so she's extremely man. Direct. Extremely direct.
Nice. she have the accent too?
Strong accent. She never lost it. Strong accent.
Amazing.
But yeah. She'll never leave that area. I don't think she's in Fairfield County, Connecticut, but
oh, nice. Yeah,
it's interesting. Well, Robert, man, I really appreciate what you're doing here. I think it's a great business to be in. How do people get touch with you?
You can email me at robert@banneret.org. Or, you know, of course, please follow me, on LinkedIn, or Instagram. And Instagram, I'm at Rob's Angle. Not much, business content going on there, but, LinkedIn, definitely, reach out if you ever have any questions.
Yeah. We'll get all those links up on the show notes for this episode. And, is there anything you want to end with?
Yeah, there's one thing. If there's anything that you want to do, you can do it. I think it's just a matter of just having a vision and applying yourself to that. There's a lot of things that we can all learn from each other. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of you, Chris, for having me on the show. And I thank you.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We're all on this path together, every single one of us. And, you know, you can get a million people on social media telling you they got this car or that car, they can get in front of their house or anything like that. And trust me, I've run into a lot of these people. I've gotten to know them. Most of that stuff is not real. Most of that stuff is not real. Everybody's struggling in some way. Everybody is trying to get to a better place in some way. Right. And don't let yourself be brought down by other people who want to be negative, who want to tear you down, and who want to lie to your face too. So right. that's a big thing. And so, Robert, it's great that you're on the path. I love what you're doing here, and people should definitely contact you and get to know you and try to get their places of employment in on this program, because it could mean a lot of good things for a lot of good people. So
absolutely. And I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Robert, and everybody out there who's listening, get out there and live your best lives while you can.
Boom.